Welcome to It Takes a Village, a podcast for college-bound families by Olin College of Engineering's Admission and Financial Aid team. My name is Dan.
And I'm Alia. So it's February, which is the month of love. Dan's laughing because he likes how I say month of love. So we thought it was time to explore an important aspect of growing up and having new experiences in college, which is dating. College is not only a time to grow intellectually, but also to grow personally and develop life skills. New relationships can be a part of that.
We brought on an expert who has seen it all, Rayanne Butera, who is Olin's Dean of Student Affairs, to give us some guidance on this topic. So welcome, Rayanne. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk with you all today. So I'm Rayanne Butera. I am the Dean of Student Affairs at Olin College in Massachusetts. This is my eighth year here at Olin serving in this role. So the Dean of Student Affairs oversees pretty much all of the things that students do outside the classroom.
Thanks, Rayanne. So students, you know, come to college from a huge range of social backgrounds and past relationship experiences, from no experience at all to students who have already experienced things like first love, heartbreak, sexual experiences before coming to college. So what does navigating that, you know, look like once they're here on campus?
Yeah, Ali, you bring up a really good point. Students do, at any institution, students come from all kinds of different experiences and backgrounds, academically, socially, and otherwise. And so, I think when we meet students, we like to meet them where they're at and endeavor to sort of understand where they're coming from and what their experiences have been in a range of things. Sometimes relationships also factor into that understanding of students and where they're coming from. What we tend to see is that students come to college with expectations, right? I know I did. I know when I started college, I had these expectations about what college life was going to be like. Sometimes those expectations are accurate and sometimes they're not. So a lot of what we do with students, particularly around relationships, whether they're romantic relationships or whether they're friendship relationships or even relationships with faculty members in the classroom, is try to help them set their expectations. And one of the major things that we do in order to do that is we provide education to students around relationship building. Again, romantic relationships certainly, but also how we navigate all kinds of relationships during our college experience. I think that's the basis of what I would say is we start off with helping to support and educate students, no matter where they're starting from when they arrive on campus. They do that through all the things they do while they're in college. But in our space in student affairs, it's living in a residence hall, right? And having to live with a roommate, for example. I'm a big believer that first year students should have roommates. And that's not just, you know, because we need bed space and all that. Sometimes that's true. But I really believe that that's a huge learning opportunity. And I find so many students don't share space before they get to college now. And that wasn't always the case, right? But times have changed, families have developed and changed, and all that kind of good stuff. They might be the only child in their family, or you know, it might have been a priority for that family that kids had separate spaces. I have two children. They both have always had their own rooms. So I get that. But what they do, you know, in that roommate situation is a lot of learning about how to negotiate living circumstances, relationship. That relationship alone teaches them a lot about how to talk about, you know, how to be in a relationship with someone. Again, romantic relationships have another, you know, level to them, another layer to them, but you still learn a lot about just basic relationship skills from living with someone in a, you know, in a room. And I often tell families and students that it's a weird thing. I get it, right? You come in, you've never met this person maybe in person before. Now that night you're going to be sleeping like 4 feet away from them. You don't know who they are. And that's real. So we try to support students in thinking about what they want out of that relationship with a roommate. I also tell them that a roommate does not have to be your best friend. Sometimes it's better if they're not, but they need to be someone that you can learn how to live with, you know, in a symbiotic way that makes sense for both of you. You learn so much about relationships from that experience, so much that you would carry into a more romantic relationship with someone, later, either in college or later in life. you know, similarly, things you might not even equate with a romantic, learning about romantic relationships, you know, being in a club or a student organization, you know, how do you learn how to tell someone you don't think the thing they are doing is right? Right. I think about our project teams here at Olin. And when they're, you know, when a group of students are trying to build a car together for a competition, you better believe that some students think they're right about what they're going to do and other students think they're not right in what they're about to do with that car. And how do you learn how to bring that up, have that conversation in a respectful way, come to a consensus about what the next step should be because you don't agree to start with? Right, that's something that happens in a student organization, but what do you take with that into, they will transfer that into other relationships. It's all skill building, it's all learning. You know, when it comes to things like, you know, how do you prepare yourself physically for a relationship with someone else? You know, those first visits to the student health center, it might be for a common cold, it might be for an immunization for something, could be for any reason, but it may be the first time that that student is actually making their own appointment at the doctor, going to have that conversation with a provider. And so while the first visit or two might be for normal everyday things, later on when they want to go talk about, you know, whether it's contraception or whether it's, you know, sexually transmitted infections, whatever it might be that sometimes come up in romantic relationships, they already have the skill to be able to make the appointment, bring their insurance card, have a frank conversation with a provider, right? These are all super important skills to support not only regular day-to-day life stuff, but also relationships.
Thank you. Yeah, it strikes me how interconnected all of this learning is, right? I mean, yeah, like you said, I think teamwork is one of the fundamental things about an Olin education, right? And we have a very sophisticated academic structure for supporting team development skills, right? And I think a lot of those skills about communicating with group members or when they're getting ready to leave college, things like, you know, negotiating a salary and knowing your worth in that sense, like all of that is super interconnected to what they might be learning more under the umbrella of your team with things like the Olin first year introduction course that they do.
They are all interconnected, all part of the education a student should get as an undergraduate.
So this next question I think is really important. Dan was like, I don't know if we need to ask this, but look, here's the thing. Dan, you went to a big college. You do not know the struggle of hiding behind a tree from your ex because you see them 3 times a day, okay? So I think this is really important. And Olin, which is about 350 students, give or take, one of the smallest colleges that I'm aware of, you know, that obviously is even more extreme here. So can you talk about what are some things to think about when it comes to dating in a small college versus a larger college?
I agree with you. I do think there are some differences. You know, for example, here, as you said, we have about 350 students that live on campus in 2 residence halls with 1 dining hall and 1 academic building, essentially. You cannot avoid people. You cannot avoid people on this campus. It is impossible to do. I guarantee you, if we did a study of this, it would be true that barring any, like, I'm going to just sit in my room and not go out of it, which is not an actual thing you can do on a daily basis. If you were just going about your regular business, I bet if we did some sort of a plot, like on a graph, I'm speaking like engineering speak right now, if we plotted this on a graph, you would run into probably almost every person on this campus, right? In one venue or another, whether it's the dining hall at lunchtime or the academic center during the middle of the afternoon or whatever it is, because we're just, there's no place to go that everyone else doesn't also go every day. Now that can be challenging, I think in both cases, right? So there's the case of, I have a significant other and we have a great relationship, but man, I have to see that person every single place I go. There's no separation. I love that person. I love spending time with them, but I need some separation. there's also the instance of, you know, good love gone bad. And sometimes, you know, these are, you know, we make different choices different times in our lives, and people break up. And then what do you do? What I see that happens here in the small college campus is you either have to make a choice that you're going to, again, I bring up that like maturity issue. You have to learn how to handle that in a more mature way than most undergraduate students probably are initially capable of handling because of their developmental space, appropriate developmental space, or it's going to be a big problem. and sometimes that happens. Sometimes, right, people just really have a hard time. And that's where my team sometimes comes in to help talk them through things. I'm sure that's where families also come in sometimes when talking with their students. And so I think even if a relationship is good, a small environment can be tough because sometimes you just want that separation. Similarly, at a large place, like it might be easier if the relationship has gone sour to avoid a person when you've got, you know, 10 dining halls spread over many, many acres and a million residence halls, and you live on one end of campus and they live on the other, and you're not the same major, so you're never in the same academic buildings. That's probably, you might not ever see that person again just in your daily course, and that's great. On the other hand, I've also known students on large campuses in those situations that had a hard time maintaining a relationship that they really enjoyed because it felt like, I never see this person. We're so spread out in our daily activities, and it just wasn't worth the effort in the end to maintain the relationship. So I think there's good and bad in both situations. What I think it comes down to is probably knowing what you're getting into when you go to any school. Like I say this about our students coming in all the time. Like, I really wanna make sure that the students that come to Olin know what being on a campus of 350 students with essentially 5 buildings feels like on a daily basis. And as much as we can, help them understand that. I know sometimes I've talked to parents in the past that are very much like, doesn't matter, they're going there for academics, and they, you know, who cares? That's, yep, I get it. I am the parent of a high school senior right now. And we are in it's February of senior year, and we are square in the middle of waiting for all those, letters via portals to come in, and she's going to have to pick. But for my child, I'm much more concerned about her social environment and how that's going to support her learning and her skill building than I am about, you know, does this undergraduate college have, you know, how is their social science space ranked? She's going to get a good academic education wherever she goes. I'm much more concerned for her at this point about her social space. And I think that's something, just, it's absolutely, in no matter what kind of academic program a student is looking for, that's something they should think about. If they're going to live on campus, especially, they're going to be there and engage in that environment, they want it to be a place that feels good to them. One dining hall with, and it might seem like a weird thing or a frivolous thing to make a choice on, but quite honestly, these are things that will matter to support your academic pursuits and your social emotional pursuits. And it's real. It's really real. Everyone's going to have their own priorities, and those priorities need to be paid attention to and not discounted because they seem a little frivolous at first. This is an investment. This is an investment of lots of resources, time, energy, years, money. Like, you're investing in whatever you choose. Make it a good one.
Okay. So can you talk to us a little about of that long-term relationship? You have a high school sweetheart, somebody at back home, or somebody attending a college away from you that's different from where you are. Can you tell us a little bit about that and maybe some, how to work through that?
Yeah, it's a really important question because, you know, so many students in high school do have relationships. Often those relationships are very important to them. During that time. And so the thought of like leaving that relationship, whether leaving someone back home or going to different places, as you've said, or sometimes people think about going to the same place together. Mm. It's a really important thing to think about. Again, I think sometimes, you could, that those for people not in those, in the situation directly, the students themselves, you can think about, oh, it's just a high school thing. Like, we have to remember that you know, your own perception, your own perspective is your own reality. And to those students, you know, these are major, major parts of their lives. And now things are going to change a lot. I do have experience with this myself. I am married 25 years later of marriage to the person that I did date pretty much all through high school. However, I think the key is, again, the expectations piece. Gosh, everything's going back to expectations. I think we tried very hard, you know, I think we were 17 and 18 when we graduated from high school. We went to college in different parts of the country. We chose our colleges independently of each other. We did not have a conversation about, should we go somewhere together? Never had that conversation. I think we both allowed ourselves the space to make our own choices. Sometimes that happens. I know sometimes it doesn't too. Sometimes that can be very difficult. So when we went to college, right, we tried hard not to set expectations on what that would end up looking like. We tried to give ourselves and each other the freedom. And I'll tell you, we did not even say we were staying together. We just said, we're going to go, we're going to have our own experiences, and we're going to stay friends. We're going to try to stay friends. And that's what we did. And that worked out. But I will tell you, even though we did, you know, we tried to be mature about that, I can identify some times during my first year when I was upset, you know, because I had an expectation maybe that he was going to call for something and he didn't. And, you know, so all that to say, I think expectations are key. Again, I think it requires some maturity that I think is hard even for a high school student to say you're going to maintain a relationship at a distance in any way. Friends too, even, right? Sometimes that's hard. You think you're going to school, and when you come home at the holidays, at the winter break time, you get home and you're like, you think it's gonna be so cool to hang out with your high school friends. And then you're like, oh, we're already really different and have had really different experiences out there. And you kind of quickly figure out that the high school friends may not be the lifelong friends. You know, so I think relationships are just hard at a distance, period. But romantic relationships in particular, because you put a lot of expectations, you've normally relied on that person for a lot, you know, emotionally and in different ways. And now they're not there, or they're doing things, you know, they're doing things that you know, they're experiencing new things that you're not experiencing together. And that's hard on a relationship, any relationship, but it's hard on a relationship that felt very close in that way. So I don't have good advice on whether or not students should try to maintain a long-term relationship, because I have one that has existed, you know, pretty darn well for, what are we going on now? I've known him since like 35 years.
All right. So Ryan, for our final question, you know, really geared at our audience here, how can parents and families best support their students in working through relationships in college?
I love that we're ending with this question, because I think that, this relates to everything about how do you support your student in college. It certainly relates to relationships. I'll go back to my own experience. I'm finding this a challenge in my own life with my 18-year-old daughter, not being overly involved, letting her experience things that she's going to experience, letting her come to me when she has something that she thinks I might be helpful with. That's hard to do. I've been telling parents to do this for years. Now I'm having to do it myself, and I'm like biting my tongue. I think the best way parents can support their students in college, period, is by something. There's a really well-known theory of student development called challenge and support. It's certainly at the basis of how I do my work. I use a lot of different student development theories and practices in my work. I don't adhere to just one or subscribe to just one. But challenge and support is basically, you know, when a student comes to me or when a student goes to a parent and says, I've got this problem, not trying to solve their problem for them. This is where I have my own learning and my own life to do. We want to solve our kids' problems. We want to make them better. We don't want our kids to be sad. We don't want them to be upset. It's hard to see them cry. It's hard to see them upset. or frustrated or angry or whatever it is. But that's where learning occurs, right? That's how they learn how to have their own, how to do this themselves. And so what I find most useful is to challenge them. So the student comes to you and says, I just had this big fight with my significant other, whoever that is, my roommate, whatever it is, actually, you know, and they're terrible. And here's all the things and why they're terrible and why they did something wrong. And here's why I'm right. Cause you know, that's what we all do when we have a problem. We're right and they're wrong. You know, the natural inclination might be to say, you're right. You know, I'm so, you know, that's terrible. Let me send you some cookies. What's more useful probably is to both, you know, push back on things that, that you think they might should question about their assumptions, right? Like, well, why do you think what they did, what you told me they did hurt you? Like, tell me what that felt like. Or, you know, what would you say to them if you went to them right now and wanted to talk this through? How would you approach that? That's the challenge piece. The support piece is absolutely making sure they know that you are there for them. You are on their side. Doesn't mean you're always going to agree with how they see something, you know, how they understand their relationship or whatever that is. But you are there to support them. And supporting them sometimes means poking back at things, not always just thinking they're right and the other person is wrong. And how do you do that in a way that supports them? The other piece of that I know is really salient for a lot of parents, not all, but a lot, is that students are often doing these things at a distance from them. Right? They're not sitting at the kitchen table having this conversation with you. You're on a text or you're on a FaceTime call or you're very rarely on the actual phone anymore these days. People don't have phone conversations. So you're doing this over text or whatever. You're not sitting, you know, in at the kitchen table or on the couch at home or whatever. So it's harder when you're at a distance, I think. And I think parents do find that harder to have these kind of challenge and support conversations. Another really good thing to do is to make sure you have a good understanding of what the supports are on campus. You should not call those supports or email the supports yourself. But when you're in that challenge and support conversation with your student, it's often useful to be able to say, hey, you know, doesn't the health center have a program about, you know, contraception that you could attend or whatever, if that's what the conversation is about? Or, hey, I remember hearing about that wellness office or the counseling center, the counseling resources. This sounds like something that could be really useful to sort of sit down with an unbiased third party counselor and just talk through. So just having an understanding of what the resources are at the institution so you can speak intelligently with them about what the supports are that are not you. It's not usually useful to require, like, you must call the counseling center today. What you want to do is you want to set them up for being able to make those choices and engage in those ways themselves. And I say all this knowing that my own child is still working on a lot of that, being able to do these things herself. And I'm still working on the challenge and support piece myself. But those are a few things, I think, being able to challenge and support, knowing the basics about what exists on your student's campus so that you can at least recommend or point out things that could be useful to them without saying you must go do this, and knowing the resources to talk to them about, I think is really, those two things are basically really helpful. Now, it is sometimes the case that folks might hear scary things, right, from their student about a relationship. That's really hard. It's really hard to be at a distance and hear that, you know, a student might feel threatened or might feel unsafe in some way about their relationship. So knowing resources to be able to refer to in those cases is really important too. You know, you can go talk to public safety about that. I know they've told you about a Title IX coordinator. This sounds like something you might want to talk about with them, and knowing what those resources do and so that you can recommend them. But again, in the end, even in those situations, things that can be hard to hear from a distance, being able to challenge and support appropriately there too is important.
We hope you had a happy Valentine's Day and enjoy this episode.
See you next time.